If you would, take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Joshua, chapter number 4. Joshua, chapter number 4. And in a moment, we'll read some verses here. I want us to sort of put our minds and thoughts upon the day and the weekend that we are celebrating this weekend. The Memorial Day that we have in our country is a time that we are to remember. So I want us to think this morning just upon that word, remember. One of the great things that God has given to all of us is this thing of memory. Sometimes ours fail. I find sometimes the other day I was looking for my phone and I had it up here to my ear. And that's sort of bad. Sometimes our memory fails us. What are you laughing at, Brother Noble? Sometimes we lay something down and we just had it and we wonder, where in the world did I put that? And it's right there. Memory is that portion of life that God gives to us that we have the ability to recall the past. Some of those things that we recall are good and some are not so good. Some of those things we'd love to remove from our memories, but we can't do that. That's not our call to do. Memory is that vehicle that the Lord has placed within each of us to help us to learn from the past. You see, when we can remember our past mistakes, that will help us not to make those mistakes again. So God has given us that to help us learn from the past, and really memory and history are inseparable twins. For what we have in our memory, able to recall, is given to us, and history is that which is written down or spoken, that which has been recalled. The sad fact is memory cannot change. Memory cannot change history. Memory cannot change the things that's happened. It's just a fact of what has taken place. On two great occasions in our Bible, at least two, we find that God told the Jew to remember. He told them to remember what had happened, what the blessings that God had given. And time again, God called to their memory those different things. And even the Apostle Paul would write of some things that would happen in the past. And he was calling that to their memory of what blessings the Lord had given to them. And so we find that when the Lord told them to remember, He was not just telling it for them to remember that particular account or that event, but He has given it to us in the Bible where that we can remember also from the written history or the written account of God's blessings. The Bible says in the book of Exodus chapter 13 and verse 3, Moses said unto the people, Remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength the hand of the Lord brought you out of this place, and there shall be no leavened bread be eaten. Here we find the Lord told to tell Moses that for them to remember that they had been delivered from the house of bondage, and they were to continually put that in their thoughts. Now in the account that we're going to read in the book of Joshua, chapter number 4, we find once again there is a memorial to be set up for them to remember. As they crossed over the Red Sea, God tells them to remember they have been delivered. But now in the book of Joshua, they're crossing over and have crossed over Jordan River. Let's begin reading in verse number 1 here of Joshua chapter 4. And we'll get the context here of this passage. Joshua chapter 4 verse 1. It came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan that the Lord spake unto Joshua saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and shall leave them in the lodging there, where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men, whom he had prepared to the children of Israel out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of Israel. Verse number 6, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan, and the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Here in this passage of Scripture we find that the Lord gives instruction to Joshua that as they are to go across and as they have crossed over Jordan, they are to go back into that riverbed and pick out 12 stones. It must have been fairly good-sized stones, for Joshua tells them to put those stones upon their shoulders and carry them out and to set them at the place where they lodged that night. And the reason for that is that they might have that for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. That when the children would ask, what mean these stones? Why are these stones piled up here? And why are they laid here in this particular order? Why are they there? That the children and the children's children and the grandchildren would come and they would ask what it was all about. And those stones would be a memorial for them to understand that the Lord had let them pass over Jordan when it flowed out of its banks, and they were going and were delivered into the land of promise. That was a great day for Israel before they had been wandering in the wilderness some 40 years. They had gotten to that point 40 years before, and they'd sent out those spies, and 10 came back with a bad report that they could not take the land, and only 2 said we can. And the people rebelled against going over, and so God let them wander in the wilderness until all that generation had passed off the scene. They had died. Now the time has gone by, and God has fed them with the angel's food. He's given them manna every day. He's given them water out of the rock. He's given them all the things, and the Bible says their clothes and their shoes did not even wax old in those 40 years. And so they traveled that wilderness wandering, and now God has miraculously opened and spread apart the Jordan River, and they've gone across, and they are now in the promised land. They have finally received the land of promise that was given unto them by the Lord to Abraham many, many years before. And they have gotten to this land now that the Lord has going to give them and has placed them there. And so the Lord tells Joshua, said, you tell them to go, and every man from a tribe, go get them a stone out of the bed of Jordan, place it in as a memorial, and there so that the children to come might know what the Lord did for you this day. Tomorrow is America's Memorial Day. We celebrate this as a federal holiday. It was started some many years ago, and is formerly known as Decoration Day, and there has been many, many things in connection with this down through the years. It is a time that we remember our loved ones, and especially those that have fallen in our protection of our country. It is a time that we remember the folks and the boys and the girls and the young men, the young ladies, as they left their home and they traveled to many times a foreign country, and there was not able to return because of death. Memorial Day first began as a remembrance of those that had died as far as the Civil War was concerned, especially the Union soldiers. But after World War I, it was expanded to include all of those who had died in the military service and military action. It's a long-standing day that we observe. And in connection with that, are many times people will meet in cemeteries and they'll have services and they'll have gospel singings and they'll have dinner on the ground, as sometimes it is given during this day. The Indianapolis 500 has run since 1911 on this weekend and commemorating as a time of celebration. But Memorial Day is primarily given for us to remember. It's given to us to remember those that have given themselves for us and those that died many times on a foreign field. It's a time that we remember our folks and our loved ones that have gone on to be with the Lord if they were saved. I'm sure there's many in this country that hate the idea of Memorial Day because there's many in this country that hate America. There are those that despise any reference to God and any reference to the things of the Lord. But you and I, this morning, we should remember. We should have our memory active and our thoughts so involved that God has placed our country as great as it is, and even as sinful as it is, it is still the greatest country in this world. And God has blessed America because God has given to us greatness and God has given us liberty and freedom. We are one of the few, if not the only, countries in the world that have the freedom of speech and the freedom of worship and the freedom of assembly. We have those freedoms that are guaranteed to us by our Constitution. And then there are yet those that would say the Constitution is worthless and we don't need it anymore. But I'll tell you what, we better thank God for our forefathers, our founding fathers, that gave us a document whereby we have those liberties and those freedoms guaranteed to us. Now, these freedoms and these liberties are God-given. They're not government-given. But government is set up to protect them and to help us to celebrate and to have those. America's history is blessed because of its allegiance to Almighty God. As I said a moment ago, there are those that would want to rid us of our future history, our future memory. Memorial is a time of remembrance. There are those that would want to take us and remove our memory from what it really is all about. There are those that would rid our future history of any reference to God, and they are doing this by trying to rid us from a reference to God even in our past history. There are those that are rewriting and restating and leaving out different things of history that has any connection to God or connection to the Bible. But you know, that really is an impossibility when you look around our country. When you look around our cities and our states and you look around our government, it's an impossibility to deny that God has always been referenced and God has always been there. Everywhere you go, you'll find references to the Lord, especially in the city of Washington, D.C., where the battle rages today to even deny that thought. Everywhere you go in D.C., you'll find references to the Lord. You'll find references to God in our U.S. Constitution. As we stated a few weeks ago, there's references to God in every preamble and every constitution of all 50 states of the Union. Every time you spend money, you are recognizing and you're referencing God. For whether it be a dollar bill or that's a paper or a dollar that's a coin, it is listed on there, "In God We Trust." Now, there is a crowd that would want that removed. There is a group that despises that, but it's still our monies acknowledge that there is a God. Every time you write a date, you write down 2010 A.D., that is a reference back to the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord of our history. Every time we acknowledge, every time we do something, we're acknowledging God everywhere we go. And so we are in a place and a time of memory and a time of history that God has given to us. I thought this was very interesting. I'd heard this sometime back, but I did some reference work on this concerning the Washington Monument. On the very top of that monument, now, you have to remember that Washington Monument is the tallest building in D.C. Nothing can be built any taller than the Washington Monument in the District of Columbia, which is the central place of our government. It stands at 555 feet tall and is 55 feet wide at the base. But on top of that is a, as it comes to a point, there's a top capstone. And there are some things written on that capstone. And I want to just read it to you. And every time that you think about, every time you see that monument, every time you look at that on the TV screen or as you maybe would go by there as you visit, there's a reference to God that is unseen and unknown to most people. On the aluminum cap atop of the Washington Monument in D.C. are two words, Lausdale. And those words mean praise to our God. It's an inscription that's on that little top cap that's 5 1/4 inches tall, as it is written. And it is there above, perched atop the monument that is in recognition of the father of our country, George Washington. Now, George Washington has been criticized, and people have tried to demonize him as a denier and as a hater of God, but you do a little bit of research, you'll find that there's some different thoughts on that and some different histories of that, and pretty good indication that as he left the Anglican church one day, he went to a Baptist church and heard John Gonneau preach, and he heard the message, and then later it's told that Gonneau probably baptized him, and then later Washington gave John Gonneau his sword. And so, and it's on display in Missouri. But we find that atop this statue or this monument that's in our nation's capital, a little capstone that says, "Praise to our God." Now, is that just an incident that happened, a coincidence? Or is that something that I personally believe that is a reference that those of days gone by wanted us to remember why we're here? America was founded, despite what you hear on CNN and all the other ends and all the other stations, America was founded upon the principle of the Word of God, and that God was the sovereign ruler of this world. Now, we would not agree with all those men that signed the Declaration. We would not agree with all their different doctrines, but they had the idea, they had the knowledge, they believed that there was a God in heaven. And we have these running around today that wants to deny us of our history, of our monuments, and thank God it's inscribed atop the tallest building, "Praise to our God." Now, you're not able to go up the Washington Monument now. You are not able to climb all those steps. I wouldn't want to try it anyway. I think there's 898 steps or something like that up the monument. I have done that. When I was a kid, I was there in D.C., and a bunch of us, we was on a trip, and we thought it'd be a pretty good thing to do that. It was a pretty good thing. For a young guy, it was a pretty good thing. And as you walk up those steps, those landings that are there in that monument, you'll find there are many inscriptions on the wall from those different, every state provided a marble or a granite portion to that, and some of the Indian tribes were given, they presented their plaques and their stone to be put in there. And multiple times as you walk up that stairway or come down that stairway, you will find an inscription from the Word of God. There's some there that is from a Sunday school class in New York City. There's one there from a missionary society. There's one there from a Bible society. When they laid the foundation and there at the base of the monument, they put many things in that base monument foundational stone, and one of them is a copy of the Word of God. So everywhere you go, everywhere you look, there is a reference to God. We best remember what God has done for us. We best understand that as we have this Memorial Day that's coming up in the next little while, we better understand that America has had a great history. And America has been blessed of the Lord, and America has been given. I heard this last couple of weeks ago that there are committees all across our country that are looking at new school books. You've probably heard this. And the state of Texas, big issue was going on there about what they was going to put in the school books, what they was going to take out of the school book. I was listening to that, and while I was sitting there watching that, and I looked over to Sharon, I said, "That's where a committee gets together and accomplishes absolutely nothing." And they were fussing over how to list the name of our current president. That's not hard to do. I may not like my middle name, but that's my middle name. He may not wish he had his middle name, but he has it. But there's a big controversy over how to list him or how to remember him in history. Well, I wonder why we know that Richard Nixon's middle name was Milhouse. It's because we were taught that. I didn't look these up. I know these. Dwight David Eisenhower, we know that because our history books told us that. George Walker Bush, Bill Clinton's, William Jefferson Clinton. We know that because it is given to us. So why shouldn't I know that Barack Obama's middle name is Hussein? But that seems to be a pivotal point of controversy because of the tendency of that name. But history is what it is, and monuments are what they are, and we just need to understand that America has a history that ought not to be fooled with. You can't change what's in the past. You can't change what takes place. And so America has a great history. There's been a blight of war and death from the very inception of our country, even before the Revolutionary War. I have a list here of all the different wars that Americans have fought in. I believe it's a list of 27 or 28 different wars. The first one starting back in 1675 before we were ever a country. Soon after the colonists got here, they had a war with some Indians. And so there has been a blight of war and death of many young men and ladies and older men and ladies, and the list of war can go on and on. You can find it on the internet. I looked and thought with all wonderment of how many people, how many have died protecting us, and how many have died giving their lives for this country. In the Revolutionary War, there were 25,000 killed and 25,000 wounded, to the best of their ability of numbering. The War of 1812, there were 20,000 killed and 4,500 wounded. The American-Mexican War, 13,283 killed, 4,152 wounded. The Civil War, between the two sides, 625,000 killed, and the wounded are unknown. World War I, 116,000 were killed, 204,000 wounded. World War II, the war that was said to end all wars. Almost 500,000 American young men, young ladies died. 670,000 wounded. The Korean conflict, it's not called a war because it was never declared, but there's still almost 34,000 killed in Korea. 92,000 wounded. The Vietnam War, that's my war. That's the one I remember. 58,000. ...209 killed. 153,000 wounded. In D.C. there stands the Vietnam Memorial. It has the names of all those that perished. I'm sure many of us had friends. I went there sometime back and looked up a name and found it that I remember going to his funeral at my home church, a member of our church. The War on Terror since 2001, over 5,000 killed, 35,000 wounded. We see them everywhere. And this weekend is to remember those that gave and gave all. We ought not to take that lightly. It ought to be a solemn occasion. There's some of you that served in the armed forces that probably have seen the tragedies and the incidences take place that you don't want to talk about. I remember hearing my uncle talk about, he was at Normandy. I remember hearing him talk. That's American history. It does not change. Thank God for America. Thank God for the monument that we have, the memorial that we have, the remembrance. They are there this morning so that we can be here. They're the best educated troops it's ever been. They're the most apt, have more ability than any other group, and they're there fighting for us. That's American history. But there's another story that needs to be told, and that's His story. The Almighty, His story. We have the history of the Word of God. We read a little bit of it here this morning. But He has a story to tell. We need to remember. We need to remember our wonderful Savior. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God for the love that God had for us and the mercy that He showed upon our souls, that when Jesus came, what He did for us and who He touched and where He went and when He died, all those things are memorial to us that we can remember what Jesus did for us, and that can never be changed. It may be tried to be written out of our Bibles and tried to be written out of our commentaries and written out of our history, but that does not change what Jesus did when He died upon Calvary's tree. We need to remember our Savior. Then it's a wonderful thing to remember our salvation. I remember the night I got saved. I remember where I was sitting. I remember what I did. I remember those things. And I remember when God spoke to my heart. I remember that. That's a memorial in my heart, in my life, that can never be removed and can never be changed. I could probably go around the auditorium this morning and ask you, what about the day you got saved? You could tell me the details and tell me some things. You can tell me the atmosphere where you were, and maybe nobody else knew what was going on in your heart, but you have that monument in your mind and in your life of what Jesus did for you. Thank God for the wonderful Savior that we have and for the great salvation that He's given to us. As I've told you many times, I was a young boy. I was 8 years old when I got saved. I had no idea. I really didn't care what day it was. And later on, I got to hearing people say, if you don't know the day and the time, the hour, you're probably not saved. That's a bunch of junk. If you know you met God, that's what's important. As I've told you, I would have never known until after my grandmother passed away. I was looking through her Bible. And she put the date. It was right there in the same proximity as my uncle, which was her son. I think we got saved within 2 or 3 weeks of each other. He was an adult. He had given my grandmother all kind of problems. You'd have to know my uncle. But he got saved. She wrote the name down. She wrote the date down. And right there with it's my name and that date. That's the only way I know. But I didn't have to have that date to know I was saved. That's the great part. Because it happens in your heart. It happens in your soul. And you know that you've met and you've had a great encounter with the God of heaven, and He's moved in, and joy bells ring in your heart. We need to remember our Savior. We need to remember our salvation. We need to remember our beloved saints. Those that have gone on and those that are still here. It's good to talk about folks that have passed away, and we've got a whole list of them here in our church that have passed away. And when you hear a name or you hear a song, it brings back all kind of memories. When you hear different things, it brings up something that of that memorial that's in your life. But thank God we have some present day saints also that we can rejoice and can have pleasure in knowing each other and have the joy of serving God together. That's part of living for the Lord. And we do need to remember our loved ones and friends that have gone to heaven, and our loved ones and friends that are still blessing us. And then I think it's good for us to remember that we have a secret. We have a secret that the world doesn't know about. And that secret is Jesus is coming. And as in the midst of the troubled world in which we live, we have that knowledge, Jesus is coming. That's a memorial. That's a monument in our life. That's a joy in our soul to realize that we're not going to be here forever. We're not going to live forever. And one of these days, this old world's not going to be like it is either. We have a blessed hope. The appearing of our great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that is our memorial. So as we face the days ahead, and as we think about the holiday that we have, it's much more than just a holiday. It's much more than just a time. It's much more than an Indianapolis race. It's much more than the get-togethers and the happy times. A whole lot more than that. It's a time that we remember. Remember what God has done for our country, and remember what God has done for us. America has a history, but He has a story. And we need to tell it to a world that's dying without Jesus Christ. May God help us this morning to recognize that Jesus Christ is alive and well and coming again in the midst of this troubled world in which we live. Let's stand together this morning.